Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
When the sun goes to bed, that's the time. Can you give me a little bit more of this? It's all busted up in my phones. What do I do? Here? Breaking up, but that's okay. All right. It's Brian Beebe, once again, live on Facebook, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin. This is all chopped up in my headphones, Mike. I don't know what you can do about it. But it's
wiggle the back of that.
Yeah. It's not helping.
Nice.
Which one is it? Which volume control is it?
You're likely one.
All right, let's try that.
No, sounds good on this end.
Yeah. Nothing. No. Okay.
Push through.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry for that, but we don't get to hear what it sounds like to me until the show starts. So you have to put up with that stuff. Anyway, it's Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. And today we're on Madison Talks, and we're streaming live on Facebook. One of the things that I was going to show you was we're going to talk a little bit about history. I'm going to talk a little bit about the story of Obamacare, Rockford, opioid addiction, and music. How's that? And is that it? Let's just see. Yeah, Winnebago County Poor Farm. Yep. I wonder if I can I, could if I held that up like that, Mike, would they see that? Can you see the picture? The bottom picture?
I can see the one. I can see this, the school.
The camera
the church-looking thing. I don't know what it is.
Anyway, I'm going to show it to you just slow so you see this picture. My mother is in the hospital after a stroke down in Rockford. And spending a little time with her, I decided I would pick up this book. And it's Rockford, Illinois. 1900 till World War One, and basically somebody found a stack of old postcards and copied whatever somebody printed on the back of it, and that's the text of the book. But isn't it cool? It's really kind of a picture book with a little bit of explanation of each picture, just like a book full of postcards. And in this book I saw a photo of a building that I remember when I was a kid, and it's called River Bluff Nursing Home. That's actually, I saw it as a kid and then saw it as an adult after some alterations to the building. My dad actually was a resident of River Bluff Nursing Home, and he passed away there. Well, the funny thing about it is, I'm looking at this book, and I see the picture of the Winnebago County Poor Farm, okay? And it was a farm, a 230-acre farm, that was donated by a man to the county just for the poor and indigent people to have a place to live and work the land, grow their food. It was a different time. But this is the building that I grew up knowing as River Bluff Nursing Home. And my mother, before she had a stroke, was a volunteer there. And it struck me that between 1900 And World War II in 1914, 1916, 1918, that we seemed to do a lot more for each other when we were down on our luck. Rockford, in this book, there's a whole lot of buildings that are identified. They're old, you know, antebellum and Victorian mansions that were converted from the 1860s. You know, by the 1900s, they were converted into sanitariums, and there was three or four 60-bed. I just popped my headphone. Just popped, and I'm very clear now. I don't know, maybe if I stopped rolling my chair over the cord, that would help. Do we have chipmunks down here chewing on cords ever?
Yeah. They clean the studio at night.
Yeah. Mike Brockenfeld in the control room, making things run smoothly. The funniest thing, that the thing, it's not funny, but the thing that struck me most about this book and these pictures of the old days was, it seems like my hometown, Rockford, did a lot for people with addictions, and there were the sanitariums for people with alcohol and drug addictions. You don't think of people being addicted to drugs back in the 1910 and 1915, but apparently they were, and they definitely were addicted to alcohol. But anyway, I'm wondering if we're not heading towards something like that sometime in the near future too. It seems like if the government stops funding healthcare for people, and they're all going to need help from somebody somewhere, aren't they? And if it's some wealthy person donating a farm, a 230-acre farm, to the county just for use by these people that need it, maybe that's it. Maybe it's church. Maybe it's the Red Cross. You don't know where help for people will come from, but people do want to help each other. Can you call in today? It's 608-210-1667. That's madisontalks.com. We are live on Facebook, and we're live on livestream.com or madisontalks.com. And I'd love to hear from you. If everything stalls, I got jokes here. I was going to talk a little bit about Tony Bennett, and just before I move off this helping each other, I just want to know if you've heard. It's kind of bothering me that I don't think I heard anything about opioid abuse until 5 or 6 years ago, 10 years ago most. I know people have always used opioids, and I know they have trouble with them, but I don't think it became a political issue or in the media or in the common conversation until recently. And I'm afraid it's becoming one of these, they're claiming a 1.4 million cases of abuse, addiction. There's other people, it's misused all the time, we know that. You know people who use somebody else's prescription. You know, that they got, somebody's got penicillin, or somebody's got painkillers or something, and you need them, you're going to get them from somebody, even if you're just playing. You know, it was just borrowing from a friend, you know, at that time. But for the Republican health care bill to contain $45 billion for opioid abuse, it just sounds like too much money. I mean, if you figure there was 450,000 cases in the whole country, $45 billion would be $100,000 for each person. Do the math. And if they're claiming it's 1.4 million people with opioid addiction, that means they each get 50 grand. What? How can it be? And do, is it the role of our government to provide money for people with opioid problems? What do you think, Mike? Is it somebody else's problem? Is it the family of the person that has the trouble? Is it their problem? Is it the church? Who's supposed to help these people?
For treatment, right?
That's the idea.
Treatment facilities.
Or educating them. The ones that are borderline and not letting them become addicted.
Community programs.
Whose job is it?
I think it, as far as a government outreach thing, it's a good idea because it is an issue. And I think it's a bigger issue than people like to think it is.
But, yeah.
Because that stuff's dangerous.
And it's just new.
That stuff's worse.
Opioids are not new.
That stuff's worse than alcohol. I mean, alcohol is worse than other drugs.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the more I hear about it, they're saying that some people can take the stuff and never have a problem. And never get addicted.
I believe that.
I have used it for a number of years just as needed for pain because I have diabetic neuropathy and have real pain in my hands and feet sometimes at night when you're trying to go to sleep and you've taken all the medicine you're supposed to already. So I mean, I know that people need it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I sure like the way it feels when it makes that pain stop, you know?
Yeah.
It just kind of drifts over you like...
Your life's better.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to go outside, you know? I'm glad it happens at night because I couldn't go outside. And it's the old days. I was one of those people when we all smoked pot years ago that couldn't go out and play.
No.
You know, lots of these people could just get high as they wanted to and go out someplace.
I can't drink and play.
No.
I'm not even talking about playing music.
I'm just talking about just running around, going out and doing anything and trying to be functional. I remember a few times when we did that and we would draw faces on our chins and get underneath the table. So you'd have an eye here and an eye here and a nose, and this was the mouth, you know? And so you created this. Yes. Have you ever tried that stone game?
Good stuff.
And you're underneath the table looking up, and somebody's above the table, and all they can see is this much of you.
Yeah.
Try this with your eyebrow pencil sometime. Draw this. You know, and then we'd take and go downtown with these faces drawn on our chin. You know what I mean? It's just not what you're supposed to do. And I wasn't, you know, in our group, I wasn't the only one who was over the top with it. But opioids are, and the feeling kind of is the same as when you're smoked up a little bit and it kind of washes over you. It's a nice feeling, but I guess I was never addicted to any of that either. So, I mean, I have just told you too much about myself, but... That's okay, because I want you to call in. It's 608-210-1667. And if you want to talk about opioid abuse, let's talk about the old days when people would take care of each other. And the government didn't take care of each other. In 1913, the IRS was formed. Did you realize there was no income tax before 1913, personal income tax, huh?
That's crazy.
100 years ago, there was no IRS was new, and that caused things to be different for everybody. And maybe we all thought from that time on that since the government was taxing us, that they should provide us with the some services of some kind, you know. Who's on the phone, Mike? I heard the phone ring.
Got our buddy George.
Hey, is this my man, George? Hey, George. Oh, he hung up. This guy, this guy could have cheered us up there in a hurry, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, it sounds like he might be in his car.
That's what I'm saying.
Sounds like he's here. Hey! I don't want to holler in the mic. George! He'll call back.
Yeah, he'll call back. Oh, yeah, there he goes.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he must have lost us.
Do you know, George and his wife and a couple... Oh, there he is again. All right.
Hey, George. Yeah, I don't know.
Can we
go?
Is that him? Hello, George.
Hey, man.
Hey, I got off to a very sad start at the beginning of this show. Help us out, man. I know you can cheer us up.
Oh, Brian, you're the cheer man. We came up there Saturday night.
Yeah, that was fun.
With the other couple had never seen you, never already been to the Dells, and we were bar hopping, deck hopping, and I went in at your show.
Yeah.
Final stop, and it was you hit a home run. They just said, oh my God, this guy is so talented. You're like unbelievable great show there, and we were lucky enough to find seats, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was... thank you, man. You took off before we could say
well,
thank
you know,
you.
And that wasn't anything a slight on you, George. I'll tell you, just so you and everybody that's listening knows, I've had a big night at work, and there's still quite a few people there when I have to stop playing. I can't stay. I can't stay in the room, or they just won't understand why I'm not playing. You know,
yeah.
and they'll be mad if I don't play. So it's kind of like you have to make an exit.
Well, I followed you out, and I saw you go.
You did, huh?
Yeah, and I told him, I said, please try to pull this vehicle over. I need to tell him
how pretty it is. Hey, George, thank you for calling in. I needed a laugh today.
You are rock star, man. You are. I got to come up to the show every night of the week.
Well, why don't you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Hey,
you know.
You know why you don't? Because you got a good looking wife, and she makes you stay home at night, doesn't she? Sometimes.
Brian, you think this is my gut? It actually uncoils. That's the thing.
You didn't say that, did you?
Well, I didn't say one of the 7 dirty words on the air, did I?
you're the man, man.
No, you're the man. You are like Bob.
What did you think of that?
What
did you think of that young kid that was?
He's great, no question. He's great, and you're like his mentor.
Yeah.
He should be on America's Got Talent or
something.
Well,
you know what? He tried out for The Voice, and he was rejected. But there's so much red tape you got to go through to be get to the next stage. You know, you can walk in the door, and let's just say you send a tape or something, and they say come on in. Well, they're going to give you about 10 seconds, and maybe the wrong guy is there. Maybe he's had a rough day or something, and you don't get any farther than that. And you, but you know, George, I've told this kid, his name is Bobby. I've told him over and over again. He's been working there for a couple of years. That he should have had me come with him.
Yeah.
I should have been there with him as his backup guy. Or,
oh,
you know. You
are. They love you. They've never seen you. Just, my God, he looks like a beach boy. Is the guy right off?
You told him that.
And blonde and good looking and all this, and he could play everything. He knows every word to every song. And they thought you were like a machine, like a robot or something, you know? I mean, and you played it out so good, Brian. That you let that nice girl with her accordion play with you with Piano Man.
Nice
she
girl.
Was here with a big, bat rip party.
No, her harmonica.
MEP, harmonica, yeah.
Yeah, but see, George, that girl was so out of it, and so I had to include her, or she would have taken all the attention off of me and on her. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but we just were playing room tonight.
No,
you know,
she was in a party that was downstairs, but she came up and heard me.
Yeah,
and
my wife became friends with her. They're friends. She's got a
Oh no!
She's gonna go up and fix her hair and nails.
I want to be friends with your wife on Facebook. Not you, her.
It is.
You're the best, man.
You are the best.
Hey, do you remember, you're not as old as me, but do you remember, it seems like when we were kids, the churches took care of people that needed taken care of. And
they still do.
People, doesn't seem to be as many people when I was a kid who were living off, and I'm not a conservative or a particularly right-wing guy, but it seems like there wasn't quite as much of the government taking care of everybody as there is now.
No, you're right. But the church I go to, and my old church in Windsor down here by DeForest and Sunbury, mm-hmm. they have a bedroom downstairs where they can help people if they need a night for a few times, and the minister always have, they call it a benevolence fund.
Yeah.
Our minister's always got some money in their pocket to help them out, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. I remember one of the churches that I grew up in too had a room full of old junk furniture that if somebody had a fire or, you know, yeah. down on their luck or something, they could have something for their, you know.
Well, there's still churches. Our church has them, but they call it a benevolence fund, and they still help people out. I mean,
What's the other answer? What's the other answer? Like now, if for example. The Congress can't hammer out some kind of an agreement on health insurance, and that a bunch of people get shoved off like me with pre-existing conditions. You know, what happens then, George? You got to figure it out.
Well, you still got to go in the emergency room. They can't deny you if you got something wrong, right? I mean, anybody can go in the emergency room when you need
yeah.
help.
All. Yeah, but isn't that doesn't that end up being expensive for everybody too? If
but if that's all the case there is, they won't deny an emergency room. But hey, if you have some friends that need a job, I'm looking for people where I work. We need people right and left, you know,
Doing what?
Bill collector.
Oh, are you a bill collector?
I've been for 40 years.
Well, have you ever called me? Because I got a whole bunch of bills that I haven't paid.
Yeah, but you were using a different name then.
No, I never use a different name.
But you know why
the bill collectors don't bother me? Because I don't have anything they can attach. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have a nice car or, you know, a nice house or... You know,
oh, yeah, I saw you pull out that nice white SUV. I thought it was beautiful. Man.
Yeah, but...
It goes with your blonde hair and your tan.
Maybe you and I should start picking out furniture here. That's what Mitch Hank always says.
You're like Mitch, though. He says when I say something that could be like that, he'll go, well, we'll go hand in hand. Or no, we'll go down the hall together, hand in hand.
Hey, George, you made my day calling in, man, but we got to go to break.
Yep, see you, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
Give Mike a big hug for me.
No, I'm not going to hug Mike either.
All right.
But he's going to play some cool 60s music for me, I hope.
Everything you do is cool. You are Mr. Cool.
You are the best. Thank you very much, George.
Buddy, yep.
You got any zombies or Dave Clark 5 or something there, man? If I don't get anybody to call in... I shouldn't say this. I was going to say, are we off? Brian Beebe Show, Monk's Bar and Grill, Sorrento's at the Wilderness, Madison Talks, and then you go like this. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. The way she had said, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright. But she's not there. Well, no one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com. Stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Brian Beebe here. MadisonTalks.com. Wednesdays at 3. That's my time again. Mitch Hanks at 5 tonight, and a political discussion from both sides of the road. You'll like it if you'd stay tuned for Mitch Hanks at 5 o'clock. For me, I'm going to sing a couple of Tony Bennett songs. Somebody's on the phone here. Who is it?
Got Ted on the line.
Ted? Let me think who Ted might be. Ted? Hello, Ted.
Yes.
Ted,
is Brian?
Ed or Ted?
Ted.
Ted who? Ted Kaminsky, Ted Richards.
Ted Richards, yes.
You are Ted Richards?
I am.
You are, you know, you sold me that 1963 Chevy 283 3 on the column. Do you remember that car? Huh?
Absolutely, I remember.
Oh, yeah. You know what my first car was? My first car, Ted, and I'm going to let you talk in a minute, but not yet. My first car, because I had that 1938 Chevrolet that I sanded down and painted when I was 15. Do you remember that?
Yep.
You were going with my sister then. You broke her heart, by the way, you bum. Anyway, then my second car was a 1961 Chevy Impala, red with a white convertible top. Cool looking car, but you know what it was? You know what it was, Ted? It was
what?
A 2-speed automatic.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it took an hour and a half to get up to 60 miles an hour, if it ever got up to 60 miles an hour. So then when I bought your car, or you gave it to me, or whatever it was, you could actually lay rubber. Remember 3-speed on the column with the 283?
Well, that's because it had a clutch.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, at least for a while, and then you burned it out. What are you doing?
I've been going to call you several times. I call you on, and it's a little bit of a scheduling issue with me, depending upon what time I get home on Wednesdays, etc. But I put it in my calendar, and last week I missed you. So
are you still working, man?
Oh yeah, I'm still working.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When do we retire? Supposed to retire? Aren't we supposed to retire pretty soon?
Well, retirement's really not for me. I'm still doing what I've been doing. It'll be 48 years I've been doing what I'm doing.
Getting younger all the time. That's what you've been doing.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wanted to call you and talk to you. Sometime we'll talk. We won't be on the air, kind of thing. But I watched you and of course, you know. Chief Trick was in Nashville. I live just outside of Nashville. Chief Trick was in Nashville last Friday, I think.
Yeah, this week, yeah.
Were there with Foreigner, and I had some friends that went there, and they said the Trick smoked it.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. Just awesome.
Oh, yeah, they still sound really good, man.
Yeah, I ran across some pictures back in the day from one of my previous marriages. Incidentally, I've been married to the same woman now for 38 years, but anyway, I ran across some pictures of Robin dancing with my mom.
Oh, yeah?
if you can believe that.
Yeah, well, didn't you sing in our band for a while, or did you try to sing in that band with us?
You know what? You and I tried. You had that 12-string Rickenbacker down in your basement that you bitched about because the neck was loose on it. Do you remember that?
No. But I believe you.
Yeah, but anyway, it's kind of surreal. I'm talking to you, but I'm watching you at the same time. I know there's a delay here, so it's kind of weird. But
do you remember Gary Askey?
Gary Askey. The guy lives across the street?
Yeah, I think he lived down by you somewhere. He was the drummer. And then...
I remember George Russell was the drummer.
George Russell was the drummer in our garage band days. Yes, he was, man.
I saw a thing on the Harlem website with Dana Clinton playing drums in a band back in the day.
Yeah, Dana. And you had Steve Larson visit you just recently.
My mom had her knee replaced.
You know, he's crazy.
She lives in Hudson, Florida. My mom had her knee replaced, so my wife and I went down to help her, and then while she was in the hospital, I went down to where Dana lives in the wintertime, and he and I and Steve spent a couple of days together in a fifth of really good whiskey, and just kind of reminisced about old times and played the oldies and enjoyed it big time.
Well,
so.
Ted Richards, my sister's going to be thrilled to hear that you talked, that you and I talked, man.
She probably still has a voodoo doll with pins.
Yeah,
in it,
she does. She still sticks pins in the old doll.
How is your sister? Is she good? I hope she is.
Yeah, she's really good. I just saw her a couple days ago. She's really good.
Well, hey, talk to you again, buddy.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Thanks for calling, man.
Bye-bye.
Who's on the phone, Mike?
Karen from Michigan.
Karen from Michigan? I think I have to sing her song.
I have to request a song.
Oh, I had one picked out for you, but you can go ahead. What's your request?
Well, I would actually like to make a comment in regards to what you and George were talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
People need to help people.
Yes.
And the easiest way for people to do that is for them to get out of debt so they can live their life of purpose and help other people.
That's true. Because Mitch Hank always says, my mentor and our friend here at Madison Talks always says that when you're poor, you're a Democrat. When you make a little bit of money, you're a Republican. When you make a lot more money, you are a Democrat again and start doing things for other people, and you're exactly right. So you are in a business that helps people start getting their finances together, aren't you?
Absolutely, I am. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Live your life of purpose and help people.
Live
all
your
about.
Life with purpose and help people. And what's the name of your business?
Life Leadership.
Life Leadership. And is it something you can explain in a paragraph?
Not really, because I'd really like to share my time with you on this podcast with talking about these two songs.
Okay, what are the songs?
Okay, I'd like to know if you know all the words to Killing Me Softly.
I do.
And I'd really love to see you tonight.
I'd really love to see you tonight. That's a good one. I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life. There's warm wind blowing, the stars around, and I'd really love to see you tonight. England Dan and John Ford Coley. Hello? Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I'd like to get together for a while. I'm not talking about... surely do want to talk to you. Nah, I was thinking maybe later on we could get together for a while. Not sure why I called. Really just wanted to talk to you. And then he goes, I'm not talking about moving in. I don't want to change your life. It's a warm wind blowing, the stars around, and I'd really love to see you tonight. I like that song. Well, I'm going to write that.
I like it too.
I'm going to write that sucker down. Where's my pen? Is there a pen here? Yes, there is. Really love to see you tonight by England Dan and John Fort calling. Just a minute. I'll sing that a little bit for you in a minute. Love to see you tonight. Yeah. Strumming my pain with his fingers. Singing my life with his words, right?
Right.
So far. Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly with his song. Telling my whole life with his words. Killing me softly with his song. I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a star. So I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song. When it's on. Now there's two more verses and I'll sing them for you. But did you know, Karen, that that song was written by Roberta Flack after she had seen Don McLean down in Greenwich Village singing American Pie? And he was singing about,
I,
you know,
did not know that, yeah. But I love American Pie.
Yeah, see, and he was singing about, you know, losing Buddy Holly. Basically, that song was basically about losing Buddy Holly in Iowa in the plane crash, right? And the day the music died, we were singing by. And she went down there, and she heard him singing, and she came home and read. He sang as if he knew me in all my dark despair. And then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there. But he was there, this young boy, singing clear and strong, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly. Cool song, huh?
Yeah. What's the history with it? Did not know that.
Yeah, who does? That's what I'm for. That's what you got me for, is to remind you and tell you about some of this history stuff. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on. Softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words. See, I do it in Roberta's key. I should actually lower it down to my key, but I don't. Hey, it's nice to hear from you.
Absolutely. And what was your song?
Well, I was going to do this one for you. It's an old Stevie Wonder song. Probably don't even know this one, but it's kind of spiritual. Like a long, lonely stream, I keep flowing towards a dream, moving on, moving on. Like a branch on a tree, I keep reaching to be free. Moving on, moving on. And then the chorus goes, there's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone. And my poor restless heart gotta run. There's a place in the sun, and before life is done, I'm going to find me a place in the sun. That's two more verses to that one too, but I bit the inside of my mouth during that song, so I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop singing it anyway. We got to go to break, Karen, but, yep. But thank you for calling in, and I would like to hear some more about those your businesses when we have time, huh?
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Is there another call we can take?
Yeah, your boy Rob is
on. Oh, there we go. My son Rob from Reddington Beach, Florida. Beautiful. You don't know how good you got it down there. Do you know that?
Except for today, it's pouring and crazy black skies.
No, I got a friend up here from Bradenton, and she says it's been so humid down there. She come up and it's so not humid that it can
humidity is ridiculous.
82 degrees or something here, and it feels comfortable because it's not humid. Anyway, what's going on with you, man?
Oh, nothing. I was out running some errands. I missed the first half of your show. I caught you just now playing some tunes.
Yeah, but the first half sucked.
Okay, so I didn't miss much?
No, you didn't miss anything. The first half sucked.
For some reason, you playing those songs that reminded me of Those Were the Days.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite ones you did.
Once upon a time there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. That's a timeless one, right? Oh, how we would laugh away the hours and dream of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We lived the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose. When we were young and sure to have our way. La 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 la. Yeah, that's a song that'll never go away, man. And every time you're with your buddies, and having a few drinks, when you get older, especially. You're going to feel those things. Those were the days, man. Are you starting to feel that even at your age yet?
Kind of a little bit. But I just can remember that song. I can remember you playing that song at the Hilton back in the day. Or Holiday
Inn.
Oh,
my God. That's a long 30 years ago, man. And they just loved it. The old people, it wasn't even one of their songs from their generation, but they got that one, didn't they? But that's not why you meant to call this. You meant to call in and report, and I've already heard about it, to report about Snooty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Snooty.
Our old
Manatee.
Snooty.
Yeah. Passed away.
Yeah, 69 years old, the world's oldest manatee.
In captivity.
Yeah.
And we used to go, and you guys were pretty little when we used to go. Well, not you weren't little, but you were probably... 9, and Joe was probably 5, or something like that. You know, and we'd go down there, and you could feed them. Couldn't you feed them? Give them lettuce or carrots or something, and
feed them, pet them, do whatever you want. You know.
Yeah, and we celebrated. He had his birthday party every year. We would go. Remember?
I think we were at his 40th. Was the big one we were at his 40th.
The manatee had birthday parties in captivity, and we'd go.
Yeah.
That's a good memory, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing today?
I don't know.
You working tonight?
No, I got trivia tonight. Tonight was the Cheap Trick show that I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah, just kind of, I don't know, didn't feel like it this time, I guess. So.
Yeah, you know what, it's not really a Cheap Trick show when they're doing a 30-minute, 35-minute set in front of a foreigner.
Yeah.
You know.
There's no Lou Gramm with Foreigner.
No, there's no Lou Gramm. But the kid that they got is pretty good. He's just not Lou Gramm.
Yeah.
He's really good, but and he sounds a lot like Lou Gramm, but it's just not. So
The old guy that you met playing trivia, the British guy, he's going.
He's going?
Yeah, he's going.
What is his name, Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Mike, yeah. He was a sharp guy, man. I don't know what it...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tonight's trivia up at the Irish place, huh?
Yep.
I wish I could go, man.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got another call.
All right, go for it.
All right.
I didn't really have much to say. I just wanted to call.
So long for to Snooty.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Okay. Love you too. Bye.
Got Clyde on the phone.
All right. Is this Clyde Schmortz?
It is indeed, huh? Clyde Schmortz.
I didn't know if you'd be able to call in today. I thought you might be out of town.
I just tuned in, so I don't know what you were doing beforehand. Sounds like you were doing trivia or something.
No. No.
Oh, okay.
My son is going to trivia. He's on a team trivia down in...
I remember that.
And he goes on Wednesdays.
I remember you talking about that.
He goes with a couple. His team is a man, and a young man and a young wife who are both airline pilots, Dave. Clyde, I'm sorry.
Clyde, yeah.
I'm not going to tell him your last name. But anyway, no, we were at the beginning of the show. I was doing all this, I was talking about all this morbid stuff with poor people on farms and back in the 1900s and sanitariums full of drug addicts and down in Rockford. I'm not going to start it up again, but while I was visiting with my mother the other night in the hospital, I bought a book, and it had all these ancient pictures of Rockford and stories of old days, you know?
Well, we were talking
about that, and then that kind of led to a little talk about opioid abuse and the $45 billion that the Republicans have for... combating opioid abuse or something in their health plan. I don't know. So it was just all the wrong stuff. We were just talking about all the wrong stuff, you know.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What is it?
All right. Haven't seen Dan in a while. What's the program coming up for the fall-winter concert series at Monk's?
Miles Nielsen is playing the night before Kilbourne Live. I think it's September
3rd. He's playing there in the afternoon, I think.
Yeah, he's actually, I think they're second to the Smash Mouth is the name act, and I think they're right before them. But, so far, I think the only one, other one he's got is, we think we have Robin Zander again for the second weekend in January.
There you go.
Yeah, and I haven't seen Dan much either.
You know, I know they're out of town, so.
His dad is not well, you know.
Yeah.
Get the horn out, man.
Yeah, you bet.
As I was walking down the street one day, since I got the keyboard, come on.
Yeah.
A little horn. Get the horn out.
I had to play all last night. I'm done.
Oh, bye, key. Does anybody really know what time it is? What key do you play that in, man? Which one it says?
Probably your E flat.
You do?
I think so.
Oh, you probably go.
Down there.
That's a half step up from where I do it, because that's all black keys. The piano players, generally speaking, they like to play on the black keys. But I was a guitar player who played piano. Do you know what I mean? So you had to play in D and G and A. And anyway,
we're gonna see you later.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. What are you going to River's Edge tonight or not?
Yeah, I'm going to go there first and then going over to Grumbleville.
Oh, are we going to Grumbles?
Yep.
What time is that?
Well, whatever time we decide we're done at River's Edge.
Okay, well, we'll try. I'll text you as soon as we're done here and we'll figure it out, man.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Take it easy.
Clyde Schmortz from Wisconsin Dells and Rockford, Illinois. You know, we talked right through our break here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Better get it in.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Got Cindy from Chicago.
Cindy from Chicago. Oh, my goodness sakes. I got to play something nice for Cindy from Chicago. Hi, hon.
Hi.
Hi.
I just heard you play Couple Bars of Chicago, so I thought I'd call and say hello.
Oh, yeah, I did. I played... does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? No, I can't imagine why. And then remember that one?
Yeah.
Color
yeah.
My World, man. That was our best slow dancing song ever when we were kids. And when I was, I'll tell you a little inside story. When Robin and I first started playing in the Dells, we had, that was my song. And if he wanted to hang out in the audience and talk to a girl for just a little bit longer, he'd say, he'd come up to me and says, "A little Color My World." And I'd have to go up and play by myself, Color My World. And if I had a girl in the audience I wanted to talk to a little bit longer, I'd say, "Little Desperado," and he, because he could play Desperado on the piano by himself, you know, so Color My World was that. What else do you like? Let me play another song for you. I get somebody on the phone, but I want to play something else for you. You managed to call all the way from Chicago.
Yeah, well, I'm watching you on Facebook, so when I heard those bars, and I thought, I just call and say hello.
How about, is that it?
Well, you could play,
Don't you like, you're the Beatle fan, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I give her all my love, that's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love her too. And I love her. Hey, Cindy. I got another caller, and we're just about out of time here. So
okay.
I hate to give you the brush off, but I'm going to give you the brush off.
All right.
I could have said
no
that.
No problem.
I could have said that better, but I didn't. I'm sorry. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye.
Paul.
All right. I wonder if this is Paul. Who's Paul? Which Paul are we talking about? Paul McCartney? Yesterday.
You may have lost Paul.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. See that George turned this whole show around for us tonight. You know, I know he's tough when he calls Mitch, but he turned the show around for us today. Speaking about Paul on the phone. Back when I was a kid, when the Beatles came over and were so popular, and my friend and I could play, we both could play guitar before the Beatles came, and so we knew how to play their songs and stuff. But I remember making his mother, we made his mother call girls that we were enamored with. We made his mother call girls that we liked, Mike, and we made her say that she was the overseas operator, and she got an overseas call from England, and then we would get on there and pretend that we were Paul McCartney and John Lennon, and I would say, hello, this is Paul McCartney. Paul, you know, dumb fifth grader tricks, you know.
Awesome.
The girls were never taken in by that, but
Paul called back, by the way.
Oh, okay. Let's talk to Paul. Who's Paul? Paul.
From the Retrospects, remember?
Paul,
yeah.
Dr. Paul.
How you doing?
Dr. West, I'm so impressed with you, and I'm so glad you called. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing, just gigging a lot, man. It's off the hook. It's summertime. The festivals are awesome. We played Bonifest. Played St. Dennis last weekend. We've been playing all over the place.
I know. In fact, I can't get you to come to Sorrento's. I can't get Kurt to come up and play guitar because guys are busy all the time. But
we had Kurt a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, and a month ago maybe. But what about the physics? The doctorate you have in physics. What are you doing with that? How does that apply to rock and roll?
It's chemistry, and they have nothing to do with each other. So.
He's got a doctorate in chemistry, and he goes out and plays keyboards in a band.
I have a question for you.
All right, what is it?
Do you have your fan on behind you? Because it's noisy.
Yeah.
Just saying. No, when I play, I have a fan behind me because, we get hot because we're working hard, right?
Well, you know what I did? I hauled this 800-pound keyboard down the stairs to bring it in here, and I was kind of sweaty when I got it.
Does that have weighted keys?
It has. It's a $4,000 Kurzweil.
That thing is heavy. Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice keyboard for somebody who knows how to use it. I just play a piano and strings. Yeah, weighted keys.
Well, that's what I have my son for.
Your son, he is good for you guys, man.
Yeah, he does our sound, and he also hauls my giant keyboards around.
Hey,
we're too old for that crap.
Do you guys do foot stomping music by Grand Funk?
No, I've played it, but we don't.
Yeah,
do
I know.
One.
Yeah, that what a great sounding B3O was on that record, huh?
Yeah, that's Mark Farner playing it too, right?
Hey,
guitar
Paul,
player.
Paul,
don't you hate guitar players? Don't you hate guitar players that play keys really well, like Eddie Van Halen and Mark Farner
and me?
You're a guitar player. I keep thinking you're a keyboarder.
I am a keyboarder now.
I know, you got to go. So I just want to say hi, dude.
Hey, thanks for calling, Paul. You're the best.
All right.
Hey, it's Brian Beebe Show. MadisonTalks.com, live on Facebook, brought to you once again by Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Thanks for the money, you guys. We appreciate it. Mike Brockenfeld in the studio. Stick around for Mitch Hank at 5 o'clock. All right. We're out of here. See you next time.